get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Yes, so here again, folks, your good friends Vic and Sade, brought to you by the makers of Crisco. And with them is Mrs. Beach, your radio neighbor. Mrs. Beach has just been telling me that someday she's going to bring her son Johnny along to talk to you.
Well, I really think I should, friends. My son Johnny is 18, and he's quite a cook. He has been ever since he was a youngster. And the other night when I got home, he said, "Mom, you got something. That Crisco pastry method you're always talking about is the stuff, all right." Of course, Johnny is what you might call a man of few words. But you see, he'd made a pie that afternoon. It's about the fifth one he's made this new Crisco way. And every single one has had a crust that would melt in your mouth. It tickles me to see how proud he is. And you know, friends, with this new Crisco method, you can count on tender, flaky pie crust, too. The Crisco people guarantee it. That's right. They guarantee you tender, flaky pie crust every time or your money back. Why, you can bake pies now with all the confidence in the world. You see, Crisco's not like any other shortening at your store. It's specially made just to give you tender, flaky pie crust. And that's why I'm so anxious for you to try this new Crisco pastry method. It's right on the Crisco label, you know. Why, you'll just be so proud of the pie crust you turn out that, well, you'll be making pie for breakfast. In fact, the Crisco people will give you your money back if you aren't satisfied. Just drop me a note on the back of a Crisco label telling me why. Address me, Mrs. Isabella Beach, care of Crisco, Cincinnati, Ohio, and the Crisco people will refund you the price of one whole pound. So try this new Crisco pastry method, won't you, friends? Try it soon, and let me know how you like it. And now, let's see what's going on at the cookhouse.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mrs. Victor Cook all by herself. Sade is swinging gently in the swing, glancing over what appears to be an assortment of, yes, Christmas cards. And here's young Rush, who's arrived on the scene unnoticed by his mother.
Greetings.
Oh, hi.
You frightened by your own flesh and blood?
I never heard you come up on the porch.
I crept softly like the panther.
I bet you cut across the yard.
No, sir.
You were awful terrible quiet.
That's because I got these tennis shoes on. They don't make a sound. What you got? Christmas cards?
Yes. You're going to sit down on them, are you?
Put them in your lap. Who's attempting to sell you Christmas cards this trip?
They already have.
Oh?
Pick up that brown paper wrapper once and examine what's written in the upper left-hand corner.
Oh.
I got caught off guard at last. Everybody in creation's been trying to saddle me with Christmas cards, and finally somebody made the grade. My neighbors, friends, relations.
Well.
How you like that?
Did Yuncy outsmart you in
Ashley? I'll say she did. Read out loud what it says there in the upper left-hand corner.
Return to Miss Eunice Happers, Carberry, Illinois.
Now read in the middle there what's been stamped in purple ink.
Cash on delivery.
Cash on?
Yuncy sent the package of Christmas cards.
Yuncy sent the package of Christmas cards cash on delivery. I didn't know what was inside. I paid the fella his $2.46. Now I got Christmas cards.
I expect you figured it was a present, huh?
I figured it was something. Here's my little niece sends me a package, COD. It had never in 10 million years occurred to me to refuse to pay this fella for $2.46.
You don't think Yuncy out and out tricked you?
Oh, of course not. Little kid that way. She just didn't realize. Naturally, Aunt Sadie will buy my Christmas cards, I bet she thought. But it makes me feel foolish. I've told your father 900 million times. You've heard me. That I'd never buy Christmas cards against my will, no matter how people pestered me. Well, look in my lap.
Maybe Yuncy will turn out to be the world's greatest swindler.
Oh, the child didn't know. Probably she just chucked the darn Christmas cards in that brown paper and mailed them COD without her mother even giving her permission. Well, that's the time you victimized your Aunt Sadie, Yuncy.
Be a good little funny thing to tell Gov next time you write.
I don't know if I want to let him in on it or not. You might jolly me too much. You've heard me talk. No, sir, now. Nobody's going to shove Christmas cards down my throat in the middle of summertime. I don't care if it's landlords or neighbors or relations or who. Haven't you heard me say that 16 dozen times?
Yeah.
Look at my laugh once.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I got Christmas cards, and I own them, and they're paid for. And it's summertime.
Uh-huh.
I don't guess I better tell Aunt Bess the joke. She might get the wrong idea and think I'm mad.
Oh. Well, these are the same Christmas cards everybody else and their brother's been trying to sell you.
Yes, that Toledo, Ohio company. Here's my engraved certificate that entitles me to have my initials pasted in my hat. Here's my big important document that lets me park my automobile in Toledo, Ohio, 1 hour free of charge. And here's a new business they started just this year that permits me to shake hands with any three inhabitants of St. Paul, Minnesota I care to pick out of the telephone book.
Holy smoke.
All them grand, wonderful things I get with a single Christmas card order.
You're lucky. Well, one thing, you've got your Christmas cards now. You can put the kibosh once and for all on Miss Harris and the Brickmush Man and Mr. Erickson's daughter Beulah and all them other people that attend.
Yes, I can do that. I've already ordered my Christmas cards, Miss Feeble. Who from? Why, from my little niece in Carberry, Illinois.
Uh-huh, sure.
Darn that, you.
Cash on delivery.
Yeah, this Galloway.
Here's a dandy old favorite.
Give me a kiss.
Give me a kiss and I'll quit being blue. This is Christmas 1942. One evening, just a few nights before Gov left on his inspection tour, we figured out poetry to fit this card for the next 10 years.
Well, don't bother telling me.
Give me a kiss and fill me with glee. This is Christmas 1943.
I believe I will let Bess in on the joke.
Give me a kiss before I get sore. This is Christmas 1944.
Of course, I wouldn't want to tattletale on you and see if she did send these on her own hook without permission.
Give me a kiss as the policemen arrive. This is Christmas 1945.
More than anything, that's what the little Dickens done. Up and sent me the package without anybody's aye, yes, or no.
Give me a kiss and please don't say nix. This is Christmas
1945. Oh, yes, that's tiresome.
Yes, isn't it?
Let's put our fine, beautiful cards back in the box, neat and nice now. They can go in the bottom buffet drawer.
Okay.
Of course, I'm just out my lovely $2.46.
Why?
Poems on them are so ridiculous. I wouldn't mail my friends any of these. Well, here, for instance. You're ugly and stupid and mean as a fox. I wonder what old Sandy will dump in your socks.
Hmm.
What dear friend would I send that to?
Well, they're supposed to be comical, Mom.
I'm not a comical person, though.
No, you're not. Not in this sense, anyway. You're not the belly-laugh comedian type of individual.
Miss Apparat and Miss Brighton and Miss Kiefer's. Why, even Ruthie Stambottom wouldn't figure I was trying to be funny if I mailed them Christmas cards like these. They'd think I was either angry or insane.
Yeah, you're right.
You're ugly and stupid and mean as a fox. I wonder what old Sandy will dump in your sock.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Mrs. Victor Gook.
Yeah. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Mrs. Victor Gook. Or here. You make me awful sick and tired. I hope your Uncle George gets fired. The Yuletide season's here again. If I had a club, I'd smash your shin.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Mrs. Victor Gook.
Uh-huh. That'd be a nice one for me to mail to Mr. Buller or some other big muckety-muck in the kitchenware company.
Well, I believe these cards are meant mainly for men, Mom.
Probably so.
You know how men are. Oh, there, Vic, you old horse thief. How many banks have you robbed today?
Uh-huh.
Why, Vic, you rotten, dirty old pickpocket, you. Still stealing nickels from widows and orphans, are you? That's the way men talk to each other.
Mm.
They're really being kind of halfway affectionate.
Mm. Well, let's put them back in the box. It's almost time for me to go start supper.
Oh.
Oh, this is elegant. Get off my foot or I'll break your head. I believe I'll hit you with this wreath of holly until you fall over dead.
Man talk.
I'll say. Lay them in the box nice and even now. Maybe somebody can use them.
I can use them.
You, huh?
Sure. I'm on free and easy terms with my friends. Big, stout, manly, red-blooded Christmas cards like these that suit my various acquaintances fine. I wouldn't want to send my chum Bluetooth Johnson some little sissy card that said, roses are red and violets are blue, Christmas is pretty and so are you. I'd want to send him one like this.
Your hands clean?
Well, fairly clean.
Let's see one.
I'd want to send Bluetooth Johnson a Christmas card with some backbone to it. Like this baby. I wouldn't trust a rattlesnake like you any further than I could throw a rock. Still and all, however, I hope you find $2 or its equivalent in the toe of your shabby, worn-out sock.
Oh, my.
Well, that's a manly Christmas card.
Yeah.
It'd make Bluetooth feel a warm glow of friendship.
Here's that give me a kiss one. You dropped it on the floor.
Uh-huh. Give me a kiss and I'll quit feeling blue. This is Christmas 1942.
I suppose I could sell you these cards if you want them so bad.
Fine.
Can you pay me $2.46?
You'd have to put it on the cuff a while.
That's what I thought.
No, but I would be interested in purchasing the merchandise if...
Got them all in the box?
Yeah.
Put these diplomas and certificates and trash in on top.
You gonna take advantage of the opportunity to send your hat to the Christmas card company and have them paste your initials inside?
I doubt it.
You gonna take advantage of the opportunity to park your automobile in Toledo, Ohio for 1 hour free of charge?
Probably not.
How about this wonderful opportunity to shake hands with any three inhabitants of St. Paul, Minnesota you care to pick out of the telephone book?
Yeah, I imagine I'll let that slide, too.
Better think it over. Maybe only once in a lifetime a chance like this.
Give me the box. I'll put the lid on. Another thing to take up space in the bottom buffet drawer. Oh, you and see, you little Dickens. Mailing your Aunt Sadie $2.46 worth of rotten Christmas cards, cash on delivery. After I'd said nobody on earth could saddle me with Christmas cards. All right, let's go in the house and see about supper.
Okay.
What you waiting for?
Oh, I was just thinking. I like that one poem so much, the big red-blooded manly one. I don't know, but what, I'll order a bunch and mail a copy to all of my friends at Christmas time.
Which poem's that?
The big red-blooded manly one.
Oh, I forget it.
I wouldn't trust a rattlesnake like you any further than I could throw a rock. Still in all, however, I trust you find $2 or its equivalent in the toe of your shabby, worn-out sock.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And so we leave Mrs. Beach and Chris Goes Vic and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen. This is Ed Roberts speaking.
Have you heard it? Did you know? It's important, and it's so. The war is making changes in clothes. Many colors are different now. New dyes are in the stores, and materials aren't the same.
So guard what you've got, and wash what you get with Ivory Flakes. Your bright curtains, your striped rayons, even the youngsters' play clothes. Keep them out of the family wash now.
Don't risk nice colors with strong wash day soap and hot water. I'm warning you, they can fade. They can streak. So be careful. These days, treat your nice colors like you treat your stockings and undies. Wash them gently in lukewarm suds of Ivory Flakes. Why, only Ivory Flakes give you the fast flake form of baby's mild ivory soap. They're so mild. They help your colored things stay lovely. Last longer.
Why, a green and white rayon print dress was washed 14 consecutive times with Ivory Flakes, and the color stayed clear, the material soft. You'd almost swear it was new.
So, don't you see why women say, Ivory Flakes them, that's the way. Your rayon dresses, printed drapes, the kids' socks and school clothes, all your nice colored things.
Suds them and save them with Ivory Flakes.
This program came to you from New York and Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.